Okay.
Okay. Somebody looks to me. Yeah. Okay. Is that better?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
What's
Okay.
that?
It is 4:10 on Thursday, April 24th. I am calling to order the meeting of the Emergency Preparedness Committee on debate. And let's get started. Sorry for everyone who was waiting. Okay. First of all, we go to public comments. Anybody in the room want to have a comment? Not on the agenda.
Not a public comment, but we're getting excited. Okay, two issues, a few comments. One is the FireWise leads we've met twice. We're having monthly meetings and we're collaborating with each other in a synergistic way, which is very exciting. And we're going to be continuing to do that. And one of the issues that's come up is this project that we're working on, what's called educational ambassadors, which actually Marin does it, Marinda Moraga does it, Berkeley has a version of it. So we're starting that here in Kensington on a very exploratory basis. It's not official yet. And basically, even though hopefully we're going to be enforcing more regulations in the near future, we're all hoping. But in the meantime, it's going to take a while to unfold. And the educational model, I think in Marin, they call it a defensive space advisory visit. So basically, we learn how to do the checklist of all the things you have to do to harden your home and everything. And then we go around and explain it to our neighbors. They have to invite us to do it. It's not an enforcement. We see what's wrong, fill out a sheet, and we're going to start by practicing by doing it on each other's houses and then move to our neighbors and move to anybody who's willing to be part of it. In Orinda, I think over 2,000 people requested these visits last year, and it's increasing each year. It's a developed program in Marin as well. So this is not meant to take the place of, greater regulations, but even when regulations become implemented for defensive space and the 0 to 5 and everything, there's going to be a lot of pushback and it's going to take time. So this is what we do in the interim, hopefully. So I'm taking the Orinda training. They let me into that one. And then we're going to figure out our own version of it, which will be pretty similar to the ones that are already going on. So we're getting this started and we'll keep everyone posted as to what happens. And then also wanted to report that they're continuing to do massive cutting in our Kensington area, east of behind the school, from where I live in Kensington Court all the way over to the north end of Grizzly. And they're working today and they've now gone sometimes up to 300 feet down, like below the school. It's not cleared across the board, but they've created big spaces and burn piles in some cases that they're going to come back and do. And they're actually coming back next week to north of the school. And the goal there is to let the goats be able to go further back so they can then eat their way up. And this is all very gradual, but this is the dramatic increase beyond anything that's ever been done before is very significant. And I just was there an hour ago, walking along the school trail. They're working more on that area now. And they've actually gone beyond the trail. They've never done that before. And so about 30 feet on the other side of the trail, it is being cleared. And the CR cleared the meadow and everything. So it's such a dramatic improvement over anything before. And as I think I said the last time, it turns out we're the only area of the whole regional park where they allow the right of entry. So we're getting kind of special coverage and they're using us as an experiment. Bring it on. So it's really making us safer and it's very, very exciting. The easiest place to see it, I was gonna make a little slideshow, but it's not time, is just go behind the school and take a look back. You don't have to put on your boots or anything. You can see what's going on, or walk along the schoolhouse trail and you can kind of see that how they've gone beyond everything and they'll be working more next week. So that's all good news that I wanted to pass on.
Right.
You said the other side.
The east side, they're now clearing something like between 15 and 25 or 30 feet. A lot of the distance between this, especially right to the side of the school, they had the big machines out, so they're using all their equipment, and the area on the west of the trail, right where the big tall pine trees are back in the corner of the schoolhouse, they're clearing there too. But this goes beyond anything they've ever done. Never seen them go east of the trail.
Well, I don't know who's done the work.
It's the regional fire district.
I'm talking about above the fire trail. Park curses now. It's not like that's going to be moving. Back up the west side from about, I'd say it was the 30 mile back from the school, headed south, uphill, where the houses are, up in the ridge there, with Cooper's working there. They cleared a lot of that too. That's surprising.
This is where all the pine trees are, or above the school, or?
It's not really above the school. It's
to the south of the school. Right?
Yeah, a lot of it.
So that, again, that was super dense and impenetrable just 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. And but it's a lot of
work.
Yeah. So all of this, that's school district property, right? I mean,
I don't know. That's why
everything that's where all those pine trees are, I think, is school district property.
Part of it, but not all of it.
Okay.
But that's great news. Thank you.
It's incredible news, and I'm so excited and I'm sure that all.
Good time for wildfire preparedness.
Right. And if anybody wants to be involved in that in any way, you're just observing or you're being part of like teaching people how to do their own checklist and harden their homes, that's what we're going to be gradually working on and hopefully developing an actual training that could result in a Arinda, the thing I'm going to take. They actually get a certificate, which doesn't mean you can enforce anything. It doesn't mean you can enforce it if you're going to do it, but it means you trained yourself on how to analyze the items, teach people how to do it, and then hopefully they can share that with their neighbors and get to work on the hard work it takes to just do the home learning.
I think you guys are in students for
stuff, so sticking around and trying to make it safe.
So. But our technical difficulties got us a little out of whack, so we need to do a roll call.
Oh,
that's all right. It's not a problem. I visibly have determined we have a quorum, but just if we can do the roll call.
Let's see. Directors, myself, I'm here. Rodney, Paul, Director Paul.
So he's attending remote. Yeah. So as a member of the public.
Yeah, because I'm on Zoom somewhere in Wyoming.
So he's on travel, so we couldn't post his location. So he's as a member of the public, essentially, but he's here.
That's great. Thanks for finding signal. All right, let's see. Public member Douglas Benning. Lisa Corona.
Here.
Don Dow. Katie Gluck. Yeah. Adrian Johnson. Let's see. Peter Liddell. Not here. I mean, he emailed. Annette.
Here.
And Tomas?
Here.
And David back.
Yeah.
All right. So here. And we already did public comments. Is there any more public comments? Then EPC comments?
Yeah. Just like Dan, that Dave walked with Battalion Chief Beckham along Los Altos specifically. I called him and requested just a couple of us. And take a good hard look at Los Altos, which is, I assume will be clear where that is, which simply put, it's right on the urban edge of the buoy, facing Tilden Park. And you take a walk over there, right by there, just getting a car, taking a look at the houses on the east side of the street. Everybody's got really nice, big, woody houses with a lot of vegetation around them. There are two lots there that apparently cleared every year after nagging the landlord, ST. And I asked Chase if we take a look at it. And they inspected it to me. It looks like they've been inspected or cleared in any way, but I could be wrong here. I don't know what's going to come in this building, but I can expect it.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask Chase after another month or so what's.
You do is he can cite them.
And he said he would come back every month.
Yeah.
But he said, be writing, specifically my business.
As a public member, you can ask the fire marshal to look at properties that we find that are asleep.
I thought I just needed to take it to that street. Had a good
that's
about 8 or 10 houses that are right on the edge there, and almost everyone is just surrounded by vegetation that I think would be a
good. Thank you. You are a call observer.
I said the children house didn't pay it.
So I'm the lead of Redstone Ridge, which includes Los Altos, and I just wanted to add that those houses have been studied. They have taken a long time to comply. Chase is incredible. I know that the neighbors there have done a lot of work with the goats, getting them into the spare lots there next door, and encouraging people. It's very tricky to get people to do things on their own property. And we're grateful that this Zone Zero is going to happen at some point where we'll be able to get an officer in there, just like, and they'll get specific instructions.
Awesome. And also, Chase does have the ability to somewhat enforce Zone Zero, so that needs to happen.
Yeah, he's on his side.
Okay, anybody else?
Okay.
Let's see. Consent. Approval of the minutes. Do anyone here a motion to approve the minutes for March?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Okay. Annette first, Masa. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? All right, new business. First thing is that we need to reconsider scheduling 22nd. Our EPC meeting in May, about May 22nd, and there's logistical issues for multiple people on the committee, especially on staff. So we would like to move it to okay.
Yes. So we've confirmed the room, so we wanted to see if the committee is available to reschedule to May 29th.
Do I hear a motion to, everyone's looking at the calendar, right? I will say that there's a track meet that day, but maybe Chris can take okay, so do I hear a motion to move to reschedule the May 22nd EPC meeting to May 29th?
So.
Okay, first is that, second is that. All in favor? All opposed? Not hearing none.
Is it May 29th or May 21st?
2029.
I'm going to be probably in the same situation I'm in now.
Okay. Yeah, we have more staff issues. So I think we have a majority, so we'll be fine as far as a quorum because he's still going to be traveling.
Yeah. Sorry, honey. I wasn't thinking of you hitting yourself traveling.
And I was thinking he was traveling on the 22nd, too. I messed that up.
It would have been better, but that's okay. You guys do what you need to do.
Next, item B, presentation of our plan. Thank you, everyone, for being with me. Really appreciate it. I put together the PowerPoint. There is also a PDF of the PowerPoint in the agenda, but I can also put it on our screen as we go through. Okay. So I collated everyone's slides, and so we can just go in order or updates for our committee, if you guys don't mind. I've been really inspired and impressed at how much everyone's been doing and talking and thinking and moving forward on the goals that we decided at the beginning of the year. And I just want to say that I really appreciate your time and effort and contributions to this process and our goals. It's amazing. And we're thinking so much. Yeah. So thank you all. Okay. First up. It's not one. Okay, first up, red flag parking pilot program, which is Doug, Paul, Knox, Rodney, Paul, and Dave Staff. You guys have your. Okay, just tell me when they advance, whoever's. Is that you, Johnny?
Yeah, I can recap this. So during our first meeting, and I don't know it's not necessarily gonna. I mean, these are just kind of, those slides are just kind of my notes. So I'll kind of encapsulate this in a summary. During our first meeting, we invited Alan Siegel to discuss the El Cerrito red flag parking pilot. Alan played a role in the El Cerrito red flag parking pilot last year and had some insights for the development of the Kensington program. And we also had Kay Blons to discuss the Maybeck Firewise involvement with the Willamette Street developments. So Maybeck Firewise is currently in the process of doing public outreach on Willamette to learn more about parking capacity and willingness and desire to adopt a change. Chief Sailors worked with Maybeck Firewise to develop a survey, which will be distributed to the residents to learn more about their parking needs and their experiences on that street. So we determined that registering residents for red flag day notifications is a critical component of this, so that residents understand when their parking methods are in effect. So it's kind of difficult to expect people to do certain things on a red flag day when they don't necessarily know when that is. So it's a really important thing for us to register as many people and to be able to communicate out when these red flag days are in the most impactful way. So that way we cover the entire community and especially those areas that are impacted by red flag parking initiatives. So right now we have over 1,040 email subscribers to the red flag notification program that we have with the fire district. And I set a goal to get an additional 400 more people subscribed for this year. So we are working toward confirming the pilot streets, but there's some details we need to work through before we get those confirmed. We're going to refine the project scope to determine whether the pilot program is for temporary or enforceable no parking during red flag days or permanent parking changes. So we'll also be looking at the process for establishing the pilot program, including getting input from various boards, officials, and departments, and early input from residents, and especially from Willamette, since Willamette is kind of ahead of the game in this pilot program. So we're kind of just kind of following what's going on there and learning what's happening there that we can adopt to other pilot streets. So it's kind of a good thing that grassroots action started, and they started by bringing some sort of a plan to this committee was it 2 months ago, I think. And they engaged the chief, and the chief developed helped to develop a survey to get information rolling from the residents. So they are engaging the residents. So that's a really good step, and that's a good story that we can tell and take forward as we develop these programs in other streets. So our next meeting is scheduled for May 6th on that. And you can advance forward a little bit. And there is a picture of a red flag that I had designed. So I'm going to showcase that at the shredding event. So you'll see that at the shredding event. And then a lot of these are just my notes for, you know, when we actually have a campaign, you know, where we can distribute information and partners and type of printed material. So a lot of this is just kind of my notes, depending on what we can tackle and how it's going to be relevant to this campaign.
Yeah.
It's Paul. You and as we discussed solar build, try to get more of these right now. You said you have to
Paul, that sounds really muffled.
Oh, you said bad enough. No. What do you think the chances are of getting for at least a few more? I think that the wall would be placing Kensington much more effect. And you mentioned cost of something like a couple of the 300 piece, is that right?
Still kind of really choppy.
So, Johnny, we're looking at, are we ordering more of the flags? That's what he's trying to ask. Are we going to try to order more of those flags?
I would like to. I think it would depend on what our strategy is for them. I would like to have them in visible areas, you know, have at least a couple of them, but it would depend on funding and approval from the board. So I would like to present that to the board.
I was noticing that they say red flag, so, and they deliberately left out parking for warning, like referring to the day and or to that required parking changes. Was that an intent? Is that your intent?
Oh, that's going to be in our next discussion. I know Dave had raised some good points for refining of the scope of our program. So we're going to be talking about that in the next, on May 6th.
Anything else from subcommittee room? Okay, once, twice. Any questions for subcommittee? Subcommittee number two, hazardous vegetation removal, reimbursement grant, implementation, refinement, and expansion. And I added a little bullet based on application for our subcommittee, but this is Lisa Corona. Did you have an update or just
so I also have an update for this one too. This program, since it's in flight, we just had this second round of reimbursements processed. I added a form on the district website for the program's page so that residents who are interested in this program can add their email address to get additional updates about when the future funding will be, because we're getting a couple inquiries are coming through about when the next program is going to hit, and we haven't determined that yet. So I've added a little form that people can put their email address in for updates. And I've been letting them know that, you know, this is still in flight right now and we're looking to propose additional from the board, but please stay tuned. And in my report, which will be after this agenda item, I'll show you a few photos that I showed in the last week's monthly board meeting of a bamboo removal. I think it's helpful for this group to understand some of the scope that's happening out there. So I'll demonstrate that in my report. And in May, I'll bring this subcommittee together to present updates and process changes to consider for revising the program, which can be brought to the EPC and then up to the board. So some of these program elements to refine are to reconsider the verbiage about establishing a neighborhood lead, raise the per parcel threshold to target large trees, narrow down the focus to specific species only and to target zone zero hazards, and perhaps to develop a pamphlet for gardeners working in Kensington, which can be distributed to residents with the intent to share with their gardeners. And likely there will be a bilingual option for that, so that way we can help inform the people that are working in the community to help with the hazard mitigation. And I think there may be an opportunity to combine efforts with the work plan, the subcommittee number four for hazardous vegetation removal around evacuation routes. So we'll stay tuned on that. Is there anything that anyone else wants to add from this subcommittee?
I just want to say I've been, you know, based on what you just said about processing reimbursements, people are moving on this. It's only a 2 month old, you know, 1 month old approval by the board. So, I mean, people are really taking action, which is very encouraging. I think it'd be great to see, you know, what is the level of completion maybe next month, just to, you know, how many of the projects that have been approved have been completed. That'd be great.
Well,
thanks, Johnny.
Johnny, Johnny,
are we getting application?
That's was really muffled.
Are we getting new applications?
I'm not taking new applications. I'm just getting inquiries. So I'm keeping a log of people who are interested.
Because people do want to say, definitely the idea of mission. So thank you for considering.
Where is the form on the website?
KensingtonFire.org/grant.
But then if you scroll down, there's a form to fill out. What does it say at the top? I think it says it's like closed or there's, it's a little confusing. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You remember,
I think he said it's KensingtonFire.org/grant.
Yes.
I don't know where exactly. So, I mean, if it, even if you search grant, will you find it?
I don't know if it's going to be that sophisticated, but that was the URL for all the information for this page that I've been broadcasting out. So it's working. People are going to it and they're putting their information in without me prompting it.
Oh, so here's what it looks like. And so it says the filing period ended already. And so, but if you don't scroll down, I mean, then you have to put in name and address, but there's also a form.
Yeah, you don't need to scroll down. It's at the top. It's the first thing you should see on that page.
Okay. All right.
I just want to say, a neighbor, I think, got turned down because they didn't have the right species. Spent $3,000 and cleared incredible hazardous vegetation along the evacuation route. So the idea that it's not just the money that we're paying out, but it's the synergy of people saying, okay, that's interesting.
I agree with that. Wonderful. So people clearing out the streets on Highland, there was a whole cadre of people that were like looking at it. And so when people see you do things, then they want to do it too. But place in that neighbors are like, oh, you're getting your roof place then. What are you using? It just, that's energy. So, all right, so back to where we were. Anything else? Nothing. Public comments? I think we should do public comments.
I am interested in that. There was a deadline last month, so I just got a notice this week that I need to. To prove that I want clarification from someone on what I'm supposed to prove.
Okay.
Because it's multiple trees, but some of them are tall, and they're, you know, like 20 feet up without limbs, but the limbs.
Yeah, that's definitely happening.
That's something that wasn't addressed. In.
Okay.
Who do I talk to you about?
Did you get the form from Kensington Fire District?
Okay.
Yeah, some of the descriptions aren't very
clear. Two or three.
Yeah.
The vegetation standards are on the website.
Yeah, but it's also that form.
Yeah.
Is there more detail on the website? Just the same form.
There's links on the website that go to, I think, more information.
You might try that. Is the website on that form?
I thought so. It should be, because they should make it pretty easy, and I thought it was.
Are you looking for the annual vegetation standards?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so if you go to kensingtonfire.org, and then you go down to services, which is the services tab, then the menu item is vegetation management.
Yeah. And then all the standards, they're all there.
I see it. Awesome. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Is your question? If not, we need to ask this later. Okay, I think we go back. Okay, moving on. EPC unit subcommittee number three, house gardening support programs. This is Doug, myself, and you. When we thought about in terms of support, one thing that we were thinking of was the centralizing our needs for between Kensington has there's a lot of information out there in a lot of different ways and different publications, different types of people. And so we were considering also maybe expanding the information on the district webpage, working with John to see like what else we can do to give that web page access to more. Because even I have a hard time knowing what's on that website. I'm sorry. And then our other goal was to start pushing low-hanging fruit for house gardening, you know, really doing some greens and gutters. So that's kind of, this is a slide with our notes too. Kind of a, so the one thing we were focusing in on was a screen Kensington initiative. So the question is there's a lot of moving parts to it. And so we were thinking about, you know, there needs to be an initial assessment. Does that, does the home does it, the contractors, what kind of people can help install these screens and pest people, handy people, roofers, that gutter, the brothers, that the gutters,
yeah,
saw their band in Kensington. Yes.
Recommend
them? Yes. Oh. I wonder if you know if they cleared them. So they installed them?
They cleaned them out and then they reinforced any joints. They put extra holders on.
Did they put covers?
Covers. We don't live.
Okay.
That gets you material to get it.
Yes, that's the big part of it. So, great. The brothers.
Brothers.
So that's the kind of information we're trying to gather to and collate so that way we can start this initiative. The other thoughts we were having were getting several houses. If it's like just a gutter cleaning or something, then can we go in and get neighbors together close by to do, you know, multiple homes or kind of cheaper? So again, we were just kind of spitballing. The question then you're talking about whether the district should buy screens and maybe purchase some ladders to rent out actually the screen themselves. I know ladder big time. But at the same time, you have to have the light right for the job to be seen. So I don't know. Those were just things we were tossing around. But so it's the question of providing screens. Do we provide them for free or at
good or dark?
No, unless they're free.
Yes.
That's fine. And then the install, do the homeowner, how do we support the install? If there's a homeowner do it, or do you provide, you know, send the recommendations, which you know we are going to do because that's liability, but a little bit is a little, right? So there, that kind of where we were. And then we were thinking, because part of this is people they know how to screen up, like what are they looking for? It's not just for the bottom or top of the piece of their house. It could be the little tile that you have, the little.
Like I said, sorry, I enroll a wildfire defense mesh. I'm getting in sleep. Mm-hmm. And we're going to install it under our deck and some other places, openings. And I researched it. I'm not going to you know, certify it for that, but if you, I think I've
recommended
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, it's not the only product. But yeah, we worry too about endorsing something, like having, like we have to put a disclaimer on everything, we get a list. And then also some people have offered to, which is a great idea, negotiate lower rate. And five people get your gutter guards or whatever, and people probably would negotiate a discount, but how do we disclaim that we really recommended it? Like for a firewise community, to make recommendations.
Yeah.
Like without like a, these are just things for diligence and check them out. But most people don't know where to even go.
Yes.
Pretty sure there is.
So the full of the screens down below, the crawl space screens, and also for the attics. So I would suggest to be doing something like they do, they buy the screens and then to select the contract. And you could, as just suggest to me, you go and have four or five of your neighbors go in and get them. Yes.
Sure. I have a question about the screens on vents that are under the house. Because there's a requirement for a certain amount of airflow, how is that dealt with? I mean, that's for me, it's like, you know, if you already have kind of some mold in your house, you know, if you're adding less airflow, how is that, who makes that calculation? It's one thing to put screens on, it's another to have separate bubble.
There's a recommendation between an 1/8 inch and a 1/16 inch, and the downside of the 1/16 inch is that,
the 1/8 inch they said doesn't work.
And the other thing is that you need to be sure that it doesn't accumulate dirt.
Yeah.
So many paint over it.
We were talking the case, asking that question, and we said 1/8 of an inch. What you probably should do is the 1/16 and clog. Secondly, if you want to do the calculations to see how much airflow we need, on the Berkeley Fire District website, the same thing that I suggested. On the city, I think you just could get away with an 1/8 of an inch screen on all of the day.
Yeah,
but some things like the deck where we have, it's about 6 feet under, it's about six or 8 feet from the house. So we're going to put, I think, the 1/16 because air can get in. We're not putting the 1/16 up again, you know, in the vent right in the house. So some air is going to get in, but it is an important question.
Because they, you know, anyway, that was a case. She said, you know, then. Didn't cut according to the testing. Yeah. So that was a concern. Anyway, okay.
But
Thank you.
You just want to make sure that they have the domestic ones that well closed. If you didn't find it, when the 8th in the club, that way you get your air in the flow.
Okay. Research the thank you.
And those are important questions to address in spending time stickers. So that's going to be a thing.
And there are other things like we have the Spanish type tile. So there's an opening under each tile.
Yes.
And when we had the damage done, we got the screen put in there. My husband folded all of those. Yes, he sat there and did that.
You know, there was another thought too that is not on here, but you know, a lot of people don't realize that there could be stuff in their gutters if they don't have, you know, trees right over there. But figuring out some volunteer programs like Kensington and allowing them to take pictures, like residents can request like a picture of the top of so you can see vegetation gutters and people on the roof. So those were.
And of course, you don't want final gutters.
Yeah.
Back to the screening issue and the recommendations. You don't have to recommend. Just give people a list and say, make it clear. I mean, the disclaimer on the bottom, one or two sentences, like you can get legal. Because doctors do. Doctors at some point won't recommend PTs, but they'll give you a list or give you a list of to people who get secondary opinions or whatever you want. If they're just giving you a list of people they know and they say that. So I think that giving people some direction as to who to talk to, if you do the work, if you don't want to do something, it's okay if you present it directly. Don't use the word directly.
I find that the first question out of people's mouths is not how do you do it, it's who can I hire? It really is. That's the one piece of information that everyone wants on the
gender. There's these rating services and everything from Yelp, but there's you know, to give people four or five different rating services that you can look up. Again, we don't certify the rating services, but to suggest ways that you can find ratings.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I think we need to schedule a meeting and for steps, you know. I will get to some draft on the next week. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 For some reason, I keep thinking out of you. What's next is subcommittee number four, House of Education along fire evacuation routes. This is Lisa, myself, and Rodney. And,
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to be quick in just a time. I mean, we basically went through the traffic evacuation report. We reviewed the county tree ordinance and guidelines. We then picked five streets, tier one streets were Sunset, Arlington, Berkeley Park, and tier two were Wellesley, Beloit, Lenox, Beverly, and Franciscan, and that's more than five. Those were kind of like what we were looking at as kind of a general thing to narrow it down to five. We actually did a field review of the three main streets, Sunset, Arlington, and Berkeley Park, as kind of like the main corridors, as kind of a test to see what we walked. We all looked at those, we walked them together, we made notes on Google Maps, and now I think our next step is to determine the best method and steps toward implementation, you know, whether we should do enforcement through the fire district, whether we should write letters to the homeowners, and identify what the issues are and the importance of evacuation corridors. So that's kind of it. And we will be meeting again to just move it forward.
El Cerrito has their ordinance, and so it applies to Kensington has, I think if I remember what Chase said, Kensington has its own, but we can also use El Cerrito's ordinance.
Well, I mean, where the person is to determine what is actually written as ordinance and what would be suggestive improvements. So, you know, we were very concerned about limbs falling that are overarching these roads, catching on fire and falling down. That's it. That road is now closed. You know, they'll sort of recover. You mean to?
And yeah, because some of the trees over on Terrace Run, we cut them a bit.
Right.
And then only cut them if they're going to fall on the top high tension wire. But even some of those didn't cut.
Well, we haven't gotten to that. We have not gotten to that. We're mostly concerned about improvement, but we should definitely consider where those lines are. We did talk about calling PG&E, requesting them to be more cutting in certain circumstances, but we haven't gotten to that. We can do that.
Are we good? The response of
now that they've been all this commercial saying,
But I mean, one thing that I'm starting to talk about too is that there's vegetation that is on private property, and that is taken care of differently than the vegetation that is on town property. And so the different routes will require different methods, you know. So we are aware of that and working for them.
And some is on district property.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, there's.
Vegetation that overhangs the street, even though the vegetation is owned by property.
You know, there's that funny thing because it's in the like the area from the sidewalk to the curb, and that, you know, the owners don't think they're responsible, county is they're responsible. So we're gonna have to work through that, figure out.
But that is county property. Sidewalk in is county property.
It's part of the right of way, but I think it is a responsibility.
Well, good.
We can.
It's a whole thing. It certainly will be not going to be blocked with you.
Like blocking the stops or a big cycling issue, they have not taken the right path.
Okay. Any other questions or comments or? Okay. Moving on, Stephanie 85, Fire Right Development Block Party. Oh, this is Johnny, and he will give a report with number six, LRADS. This is Katie, myself, and Johnny, I have you here, but yeah, and Mary too. But Mary has an update.
So, excuse me, the last time this topic came up with the committee, I think, and board was the grand jury report and the response. And the County Board of Supervisors said in their response that they planned some type of study. And so the board was waiting, was comfortable with the fact that they were gonna do that study. So they were gonna let that play out. I don't have any update on the county and the study. I tried to search their website to see if there's any activity. I don't see any. But I'm meeting with David Aranda from the KPPCSD tomorrow to talk about this item and putting it on our agendas for discussion in May to get board direction. So, because right now we don't have any board direction to go any further. To go any further on trying to get a grant, we would need to have a project defined and a dollar amount budget to know even what kind of dollar amount we'd be applying for. And we don't have that right now. We did get notification that the local hazard mitigation plan annex was approved by FEMA. So we have that letter now. And we both agencies have that in their annex. So if it were a project, we'd be likely working on it together. So we'll be talking more about it in May and see what the board's direction is, whether they want us to try to pursue a study on our own or whether they want to wait for the county to do a study. So we need their direction before we proceed further.
Erin.
Yes.
How could you briefly describe it again? What is included in their study? What are they studying that maybe hasn't done before?
So, yeah, because they only responded, the county's Board of Supervisors said that they would do an overall emergency response disaster study to include things like they listed LRADs and other and the warning system. So I don't see anything that they've started. So I don't know what they plan, but that's what their response to the grand jury report was.
Breaking the law,
paradise to get at this point, the
So we, if we, once we get board direction on if they want us to wait for a county study or if they want us to do something on our own, we'd be able to identify grants that we could potentially apply for, but we need their direction on kind of establishing that project and moving forward, or whether they want to hold off and wait for the county to pony up for that project.
Has the county issued a scope?
I don't see one. Yeah, I don't see one.
We give that presentation to KPPC at the beginning.
Maybe. I'll talk with them about that. Yeah. The one that the committee did to our board a year or so ago. Okay. Yeah.
Both districts.
We're aware of it. Yeah. Yeah.
But just so that your board knows, like,
yeah. Yeah.
Our board.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah, our board.
Mostly, yeah. We have a couple new members. So yeah, we'll anyway, the boards will be able to weigh in on that, so we'll have their direction on how to proceed.
You know, I may be overcomplicating things, which I probably am. It's possible that, and how do you all feel about that? Really, a bay door open for our fire station. That is something I was looking into. Palo, yes, gave a bunch of grants out 2 years ago to San Bernardino County and our county and Morocco. But they, I wrote the person in Cal OAS not renewing that grant program again for these openers, which is a shame. And so, but there are some consultants out there with some, you know, businesses that can install them. One in particular is like spa. Anyway, depending on how many, we would need one, but I think there could be it's a range of money, but I think it's worth sort of, and I don't know if we should add it to that LRAD discussion or keep it simple.
So is it, yeah.
So, the early earthquake warning fire bay door, it's just like something that you can add to your doors. And so if there's a magnitude 6 or a 7, hopefully it's not 3, it'll start opening the doors. So that way, which is quite helpful.
I guess it would dovetail along with that.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to tackle it separately. Is it something that might be easier to tackle separately?
It might.
Because the other would, I see the other taking longer.
You say, oh, you do?
Yeah,
oh,
the LRAD, I think because I don't know where the county's going, and it seems like whatever action we take would take a while anyway.
Okay.
So maybe this other one that you're referring to is sooner?
Yeah, I mean, just have to go out and buy it if you don't really agree. The question is how much does it cost?
Yeah.
I don't think it's on the agenda.
So no, it isn't.
It isn't.
That's not.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Yes.
I'll bring
it.
Yes.
Isn't the fault right under the fire station, too? Sooner sounds better than later.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for my business. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we good for all?
Yes.
Okay. So committee 7, evacuation room guideline and communication. And here in this is Katie Peter, who wasn't going to make it today, Annette, and Paul.
And I think John is going to be last one.
Yeah. John has.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you ready? All right, this initiative pairs pretty well with the Red Flag Parking Pilot Initiative. So this committee will support the campaign to increase subscribers for the Red Flag Warning notifications. The subcommittee is working to improve the general public's alertness and situational awareness during high-risk days and residents' ability to obtain information through apps, signage, or through neighborhood networks. So since evacuations are ordered by Kensington Police, there is a strong reliance on the police department to facilitate these drills. If there is a cost factor and staffing shortfall that prevents community-wide drills, the subcommittee recognizes that smaller simulations and activities can accomplish quite a bit of education and awareness on a block or neighborhood level. So we don't have our next meeting scheduled yet. I tried to schedule one a couple weeks ago. It didn't come together. So I just wanted to remind everyone, please check your emails from me and read through them. I'm usually asking for availability so I can set meetings and make sure we are progressing. So that's the brief overview on that one.
Okay, so I don't need to do your other slides.
What's that?
Did you want me to go through your other slides, or are you
good? I'm good. Those are just kind of working notes until we get to something more substantive.
Okay.
Ask a question. Were you actually considering a community-wide bill?
Wait, Matt?
I think. Fine, we were considering a community-wide bill, but resources and reduce the problem of doing that. So,
mm-hmm.
Are you actually considering the community wise bill?
No, there's still
well, the can I
some substitute ideas?
So, there's always been a consideration for that and a desire for that, but you know, as we kind of keep that on the table as an option for the future, we still have to move forward with whatever we kind of are willing to or are able to work with. And we've been doing a lot of simulations and public awareness regarding evacuation through Firewise communities, like on the block level. So Alan knows, Maybeck Firewise also has been doing them on a walking basis. So like I said, it doesn't necessarily need to be community-wide because we're able to still do a lot of public awareness and education on a block level if we're not able to do them community-wide because of staffing and cost factors.
Can you put up your slide? Maybe the third slide or something. He wants to consider.
Yes.
Yeah, on the screen. I got it. Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at there's three bullets there, specifically, and Johnny Lieutenant mentioned that Nixel, Watch TV, maybe a weather app. I mean, those things taken together, I think, go a long way toward increasing the public's general awareness, Johnny Lieutenant, and situational awareness as well. I personally haven't made it. It doesn't do it anymore because the draw and resources, particularly police. So I think we can get even if it's just this group to make a commitment to talk to some of your neighbors after next month to make sure people just know about Nixon. By that time, right? Mm-hmm. And WatchTV. I mean, WatchTV is really intuitive to use. I know some people that are really not very competent or confident with devices, but WatchTV, you don't have to take any tutorial. Just look at this thing and you look for where there are flames in your area or elsewhere if you're interested. Tap that, you'll get all kinds of information. I mean, things like that go a long way. It's getting people to use them. And I think that's maybe all of us. I can promise right now, I'm not sure that everybody on South Lake Tribe has at least heard from me. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I can't do that. But you know, the number of people around this table multiply it towards times of, you know, what I need. 30 neighbors, that's a lot of people. And then hopefully we'll spread from there. I think Johnny is that right? I mean, that's what we're talking about, increasing the public's general awareness of tools.
Right, and watch duty is being added into our publication. I do the wildfire preparedness workbook update. It will be added into that this year. We've kind of already have it circulated in other publications. I know I put it in last year's Fireplug as one of the important apps to download, and we've been talking about it on a block level as well.
I wonder about somehow connecting Edsel and I out to evacuation, not drill, because you can't really call it that. The fire department doesn't want to have an official drill, sea sailors, but something about walking exit routes or some other thing connected to fire prevention to Edsel and I out. Yeah, somehow to connect that.
We found that on the street. Mm-hmm. We set aside time. The truck sometimes, you know, they drive has what I'm called pretty successful. One in terms of turnout, lots of people.
Good block.
Trouble is getting to stop stuffing their face for a few minutes. I'm actually having a little bit of that. I got to be pissed off. People just don't listen to you. So you really have to be. I hate to say that. I did start that. I used to be at least.
I should also give you guys an update too. The chief and the principal at Wednesday are in the process of setting a date for them to meet to discuss Pennington's elementary's evacuation. So it was interesting that. Speaking to the chief, and he had given me an example somewhere in Southern California where it was either the city or the fire district said, hey, depending on how severe the fire weather is, you either cancel school or you stage buses for every child at that school, or it's a tiered approach depending on the use. And so that we could be looking at something like that. So
I actually have to admit, I don't know what kind of, and I imagine you, what kind of situation arrangement has the school to set.
They have the district. Kensington Elementary does them. They have one that is tailored to Kensington Elementary. But it may not be enough. So that's why the chief is going to the principal, and the principal doesn't need to make sure that in a situation there are the kids are safe, and then also the greater issue of evacuation, transit in itself is offered to the fight.
Yes,
is
that the time right?
I would
yeah.
Like
to. The answer to the current evacuation plan for the elementary school or the
There's 500 students. So all the parents coming to pick up their kids. I mean, that's
yeah, sure. Yeah.
And that's better than that.
Like they have sheets that for information that go out and stuff. And there is, the district itself has a plan, but this process is about integrating the school district's plan and the fire district's plan. So that was found. And then also using best practices which are starting to change depending on where the school lives and how big of a risk there is for them. So although that's a piece.
Kids have standing order and figures and staff. To if we tell you there is a fire area, everybody's going to put that into the play yard and then catch that. I think we've got that.
So,
thank you.
Is this a follow direction of the town chief? So it's there's a fire that's several miles away and the wind's that bad. Think about how much time you have. The fire starts in a little while and back 60 mile an hour. So those are two very different situations for fire personnel to call. So, I mean, In Paradise, there were temporary refuge areas, and so they were told that they found that to be more beneficial to save people where they required to in non-flammable buildings. So that could be what the town chief tells police to do. It could be that, hey, no, so those are the things that will be talked about. And then as soon as that they're talked about, and you have more information,
okay. Is it personal being addressing with the police chief comment?
No.
Anyone else?
I guess we should be first.
But he's responsible for all the activities and the ones involved in getting out. Curious.
Right now, it's the fire chief and the principal. Because it's not evacuation until, like, they may set up a temporary refuge area, and then there's no evacuation there for police yet. It's not.
Fire chief, will be recommending to the police to be following that. A lot of the relationship between the two. I'm sure the evacuation takes place next to this plan.
I think this is like a mutual like consult, like from the fire chief with the principal.
I can't believe that food was built yesterday. He didn't put his food there as he is. And fire has been around for him. That's great.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm just there with the chief. I was really glad to be progressive before we said that the public is back on the sunset. What he's doing, what he stands out, whatever he's getting before you are. Public comments for me.
Well, the point's well taken, yes. I think he goes to the public meeting and
okay. Bonnie, I think that wraps up our subcommittee updates. Thank you everyone for taking the time to do that. And I look forward to hearing next month what comes out of your goal. Agenda is John. Yes, it's the chief organizer for the John, you're up.
I'm trying to get my screen share up. Just one sec. All right, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have the paper shredding event happening on Saturday, May 3rd. I hope some people are going to. Oh, there's an extra W in there. Wow, in the web address down there. Whoops. I hope anyone's going to be available for helping out at that, because I'm going to be needing to also help the Firewise communities during this. It's at the same location, just at the same time. It's a good opportunity to use that parking lot for both events. So the shredding event is happening at the same time as the Wildfire Community Preparedness Day. So during the Wildfire Community Preparedness Day, that's just going to be me setting up a table, and the Firewise leads are going to be there interacting with each other. I've been inviting other prospective Firewise communities up to speak to the Firewise leads and me. I'm going to have some publications available for anyone that wants to, you know, stop by after the shredding event, during the shredding event, you know, after they drop off papers or whatever. So it's just an opportunity for us to have another touch point with the community. I just kind of need a little bit more help with the shredding event. I know there's not a lot of people in this group that have been to it or helped with it. I hope that we can start getting more interaction there so that you get more experience.
How many people
have signed
up to help you?
I know Lisa and Danielle said they would. I haven't heard of anybody else. I've asked the fire department to stop by as well, and they actually have an event happening at the same time somewhere else. So they will try, but as usual, they usually get pulled away to other calls anyways. So that's why we can't always have them scheduled for that, because they're on duty. So they have to be committed to calls. So during the Wildfire Community Preparedness Day, Alan offered to host a guided walk that will start at the shredding event and then go through his community to do a walking tour and to talk about what it's like living on the wildland interface. So we've got a couple people from the public that are starting to sign up for those, to attend those walks. There's going to be two scheduled during that time frame. So we can hope to start funneling people to experience and hear what Alan has to say about his experience working with East Bay Regional Parks and living on the wildland urban interface. I will be doing a presentation on Tuesday, April 29th from 6 to 7:30 at the Red Oak Realty office at 7502 Fairmont Avenue. I'm just going to talk about, you know, our basic initiatives and basic preparedness. I'll hand out my publications. I'll give some tips, answer questions, and then talk about some of the initiatives that we have. So I'm hoping that being in Lower Kensington or the Lower Kensington / El Cerrito area, that we start to draw in some people from, you know, the Calusa Circle area, so that way we can start engaging that part of the community to set up Firewise areas and increase awareness. So that'll be April 29th from 6 to 7:30. Fire plug went out. I think everyone's gotten theirs in the mail. It looks a little different this time around. A lot more visual, a lot more engaging. So I'm going to try to keep that in mind and going forward with future publications to try to capture some nice images to publish, to engage the community, to draw them into what we're doing. Because the visuals are a really nice touch to engage the public and get their attention.
Best
mission ever, I thought.
Yeah,
informative too. Like
the
list. Okay, so here's a little showcase of the hazardous vegetation removal. There's a bamboo removal. You can see the picture on the left, the bamboo growing along a fence in between two houses, and the contractor removed the dirt and was going in between the paving stones to get the roots out. He cut down the bamboo and removed the roots. And then here is a before and after shot of the removal. So that's just a simple bamboo removal. So they're taking out the roots to try to limit the regrowth. Congratulations to Shakespeare Cluster Firewise, which is the Avon area, along the East Bay Mud property. along Berkeley Park, Beverly. It's essentially the Avon runs the center of it. They're the fifth recognized FireWise area. So wanted to say congratulations to them. Beloit FireWise, they had their risk assessment walk and their application was submitted on April 17th. And we had two informational meetings, Eldridge Court and Yale Avenue and Yale Circle. Well, the Yale Avenue is going to be in 2 weeks. So I'm going to have an informational Zoom meeting with them to tell them about FireWise. But you can see this image was published in the Fireplug as well. There's quite a bit of interest in forming additional FireWise areas. And the blue areas are the ones that are applications that are still kind of in development. And the red areas are areas that I'm forming. So really working toward closing the barrier, the boundaries, so that we're completely wrapped. And we're pretty close to doing that. So hopefully this year we'll have the entire boundary between Kensington and East Bay Parks, and then Kensington and Berkeley completely, contiguous as a FireWise area. And just an update as well, we have, I have some block meetings on Sunday, April 27th. I've got Arlmont FireWise. They're going to have something in the community center on Sunday morning. And then K6, the CERT group, Kensington CERT 6, they're going to have a meeting for Map Your Neighborhood. I guess there's some new neighbors and they're going to introduce some other neighbors. I'm going to try to make that one, but it's at the same time as a previous commitment that I had for Colgate Avenue. They wanted to have a block party. So I met someone that lives on Colgate during, when was that? I think it was during the one of the town halls, like the Kensington Improvement Club. No, the Kensington, the KPOA, I think it was that meeting, asked to do a block party. So it's finally getting to that point where we're going to actually do it. So that's going to be on Sunday as well. And then what else? I think that's it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Any questions?
Yeah.
Thank you,
John.
Yeah, thanks, Donnie.
First.
Yeah. Appreciate everything.
Any questions for Donnie?
So I have some questions on the floor, so I think I'm pretty young to ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry we passed through that. Did you have just say it? I'm still nervous. Okay. What do you think?
I add a little bit to longer searching. So,
okay, you want to say this one?
Yeah.
Next one?
Yeah, I was
okay.
Beginning to think about it tonight.
Do you want to add to Stephanie before?
I have other comments.
Okay.
And you can decide if you take it or not.
Okay.
Okay, the one we have now, it's been the same since I think. 50 years ago. Okay, it's all good, but there's another issue.
Okay.
We are hundreds of height of trees that we go close to.
Okay.
So you're worrying about whether those things you put on the thing are building. But it's way ahead up there. And it's the valley because it's oily, it's freezing. And we've gone even have them chopped next to us, and I can get into that and cut them back.
Okay. And is it your property or somebody else's property?
the property unit is the one that's just the so if you want to get, I want to get into that and the building. If it is up, and I'm holding more time to the people.
Okay.
They have the weeks work, and what I did is in this. It comes down.
Are you on Norwood? Is that what it's about? Wow.
Yeah. And it's average. People on the other side. Yeah. It's full. At probably and on their own street. So I had something. On the other part, so if you don't need to take it.
Okay.
And so we had some,
Okay. Now
I'm just
saying.
Now, yeah, I'll come back to the moment.
Okay.
Okay.
And this, so that's the one. Okay. In terms of items for the next agenda, is there a possibility of adding an item about what happens with the school evacuation planning or getting more information about that? Because both I think that would probably be of interest to a number of people, and it also seems to have, you know, implications for evacuation plans and just, you know, the overall flow of Kensington. I think it would be good if we could more about what school is currently doing and is thinking of doing. So,
okay. You stay on the schedule, but if they do have something to report, I'd have to get something.
You'd be at that meeting as well? No, the meeting with the, okay. So, yeah, we can put something on the agenda that allows you to report back and, yeah, and ask you questions about that. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's just, yes.
Any other topics? Just updates from the committees, I think, next time, huh? The subcommittees, yeah.
Yep. And that one.
If anything else comes up.
Anything that, you know, is important, it, maybe what the board. Mm-hmm.
More
savings are the LRAC. Yeah. And then the
other item. Okay.
Anything
for
the drone enthusiast.
Pretty people
this
morning.
Okay.
Richard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Here we go.